Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And if you want to join us on Facebook Live, then simply go to Facebook and type in the Female Solution, and you will see us, and we will be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, shortly. And we want you to participate in quite a discussion today. We'll be right back to talk about woman to woman. Do men cause us to compete for love, pitting us against each other? And is this destructive to our families, our communities, and our culture? And what do we need to do differently? Let's talk about this. We need to talk, sisters, because what we're seeing in the behavior of our children means if we don't come together and figure out how to work together for our families, we're not going to survive. But we don't like to put forth gloom and doom. We like to give you the positive possibility that we have within our hands to create. So let's choose to create the positive outcome. And we can only do it working together. We'll be right back after these brief messages, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and, of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're Three Black Moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And we're going to bring in our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And again, we want you to call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we will gladly open your mic and get your comments on this day where we want to talk woman to woman and make sure that we get your comments. We are joined by our dear sister, Reverend Mama Joy, who, as always, gives us spiritual insight. So, of course, we want you to be a part of this discussion today. Again, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our special third Wednesday of the month guest, Reverend Mama Joy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host, Kareem Hamid, every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And we are back, and I believe we have with us our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we'll be ready to open the mic for our special guest, Mama Joy. Yes, Grand Rising.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, sir. And we are joined with Kareem Hamid. Yes.
I'm grateful to join with you once more hosting the Female Solution. And I'm looking forward to hearing the commentary of Mama Joy. What a beautiful name to have.
Yes, yes. Definitely speaks to who and what she is and what she brings to the world, Joy. So let me bring in her right now. And certainly, and also, Mama Joy, I did send you the StreamYard link in case you
want to join us visually. But, of course, we're happy just to hear your beautiful voice, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today on The Female Solution.
Grand Rising, Grand Rising, and thank you, thank you. This is a special day. Each month I have a chance to get in and join with this special community of three that I can see will be impacting the world, I guess according to how you want to see it, but this is a wonderful piece here that you brought today with Women to Women, and let's get it started. And you know what? When you say Women to Women, why do men pit us against each other in competition for love? Well, you know, that's a thing men love. They love sports.
Ooh,
life
wow.
is a game. Life is a game. Life is a sport. And I think that it's time for women to understand that they must be able to get into this game of life. Because so often we've gotten into it with our heart and our mind, our soul and God, and we don't realize that there was a game being played. And when we were born and come from our mother's womb, there's a game going on. And so because mama doesn't know what the game is, how can she teach?
that is true.
Okay. So you're either going to be a player in the game or what would you say? You're gonna be played on. You either play it or get played on. Okay?
Mm. Hello.
And it's not a competition, you know, it's about getting your own game together. And that's something that women have not been taught, that they too have that authority within themselves. It's for a matter of survival. And I'm interested. Let's get the game on. Let's get the game on. Let's get it on, because I'm excited about this. I wasn't quite ready for it, but I tell you, it's something to think on, because I love sports. I love sports, and it's like Naima and Brother Kareem. You're either gonna be in the bleachers or you're gonna be on the field. So what's your position? And it's not about hurting or harming or taking anyone as subject. But if you don't know who you are, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what your purpose is,
I think that's a key thing. You know, I guess one thing I'm looking at is the way we as women tend to be socialized. And I'm seeing a whole lot more aggressive behavior between young women. You see a lot of it on Facebook, girls fighting each other, pulling out each other's hair and everything. And it usually is over some conflict. She tried to take my man, you know, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, in the animal kingdom, if there's anybody in competition, it's the males over the right to mate with the females. So it seems like we're kind of backwards in the way we handle things in the human family, because we find ourselves in this game, like Mama Joy said, you know, being played often, being played against each other, and the outcome of it is not good for our families. I'm just in surveying all of my friends who have ended their relationships, ended their marriages, no longer with their husbands. Usually it was the result of a conflict because their husband was involved with another woman. And sometimes, you know, we have a lot of men who are choosing, and Kareem, you've dealt with this topic numerous times on your men-only discussions. A lot of men are hesitant even to marry because they're kind of enjoying the whole playing the field thing. And so they might have bunches of women kind of competing for them to be the one, when none of them are really the one.
She's saying,
and as a result, so let me see. I'll open your mic, and I mean, I'll open you up in StreamYard. If you follow me on StreamYard, I'll do that. But you know what I see is, the more that happens, the more we have all of these unformed families, women with children, and it gets to be a drama. I mean, we see it, you know, I think there have been several TV shows that have been made about our dysfunction. You know, you have this child, you know, does he belong to this father or not? And we have so many unformed families or broken families, and women angry at each other, and who I see suffering are the children. Been my concern from the beginning is that the children come into a family in conflict, and sometimes it's unclear as to if that family is ever going to be officially a family, because the man is, you know, like the papa was a rolling stone, wherever he lays his hat with his home. So he's living with this woman sometime, and then this woman over here, and that woman over there. All of them may have his children, but none of them may be able to say this is our family. And so it's kind of disjointed. And I see that evolving in our culture. And, you know, some people talk about bullets from slavery, but we've been out of slavery for, you know, at least five generations now. And that first generation, as you pointed out, Kareem, they were diligent in trying to find their families and form families, because that was the symbol of freedom. So now I don't know where this culture has evolved to the point where we can't seem to agree to form families for the good of our children. And when I see 12, 13, and 14-year-olds doing hijacking, for me, that is a sign that we as women, if we don't figure out how we're going to collectively mother these children and get them back into some type of civilized behavior, then the whole society crumbles. But many of us are too angry at each other in competition over men who seem to be enjoying that competition, because it's an ego booster. Oh, I got this woman. She's doing her best to try to do everything for me. I got this woman trying to do her best for me, to do, you know, because she wants to win me. And it's destructive and not constructive. The society is feeling the effects of it. And the answer isn't more police to come and shoot our children down. That's not the answer. The answer is that we bring them back into a family structure where there is respect for parents. But we can't do it if we're at war with each other as women. And the men, if you're looking at it as a sport, like Mama Joy said, there's no winner in this sport when our children suffer. That's what I'm seeing. So I'm gonna bring Mama Joy on. And while you respond to that, Kareem, let's see if I can. Okay, yeah, now you can. Yeah, there we go.
Okay, all righty then.
So we got Mama Joy on the yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
You can.
Yes, loud and clear. So we've got Mama Joy on the screen. And
righty, well. I can't hear you.
Oh, no? Uh-oh. Okay, wait a minute, Brother Kareem. We're trying to work out this audio issue.
Can you help me? I can hear. Let's see. I can't hear me, honey.
Okay, let's see if we can.
Okay, there we are.
All right, can you hear me now? Great. Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. So we got
I had the phone and I had the computer. I was trying to hear.
I know.
You know, I just love what God does. I just love what God does. And I am so grateful for my life's journey. And I'm saying that because in my journey, I had the opportunity to explore many different philosophies and religions. And one of the ones that I really hold dearly is that the teachings that I received under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And and being able to be in a situation where you can actually see the unity of men and the teaching of men to respect and honor women. Now, that wasn't done all the way, all the time, but it was there. And I believe, Naima, what is missing, his position, let me go back to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his position was that he was the last messenger of Allah, which means he's the last messenger of God to the black man. That was a very, very, a very important time in our black community's lives because the emphasis was family. Women were taught to cook. Women were taught to take care of their children, to educate their children. Nowhere else in America were black people being taught, at least to my knowledge, on that magnitude that he was. Okay? Think about the educational system. What is the educational teaching us about us? What is the educational system teaching us about family? What is education teaching us about character building? What is education teaching us about survival, a love? When I was coming up as a child, our teachings, because we had teachers in our community, teachers were in the school and they were in sync and aligned with the desires of the community. Our education has been disconnected. And regardless of what we do, we've got to make sure that this education is in alignment with what it is that we desire to be. We should tap back into what our ancestors had. I agree with Brother Imam Kareem, holy. That was the desire of our ancestors' heart. And that was to find our family, become a family. That was a desire because we had become so fragmented. We didn't know which way. They changed our names as we went from one plantation to the other. That was the priority. That was the priority. But some way we lost it. And I'm going to bring Mother Sojourner Truth's words as she stood in the midst of people, in the midst of being a mover and shaker. She couldn't read. She couldn't write. But she stood in the midst of this as a mover and shaker of the 1800s. And she was listening to all of the conversation just like we're having now. She said, you all are talking of all these beautiful things about what you're going to do to teach your children. She said, this is wonderful and good. But my question is, who's going to teach this poor slave child? Who's going to teach the poor slave child? My mind is, we're the descendants. Who's been teaching us? The educational system is very powerful. You think about it. The teacher has access to our children for what, 7, 8 hours a day? How many parents have that kind of investment in their kids every day? And what are they teaching you about you? What are they teaching you about your purpose? What is your position in life? That's what I'm saying about a player. Our children in the midst of a game, and no one's teaching them the game. No one's teaching them their real identity, their real purpose. What's the plan for them? What is the divine plan for them? Who's trying to teach them? What is eternally? Why have you been put here by the Almighty to do here? What is your design? Male and female. Women see themselves as an objective. Women see themselves as something. They, you know what? They really don't know who they are.
And that
we lost our identity. Tell me, who are they? Who are we? Who are we? We are living a false identity.
And
we're living a false identity. And to me, that is something that needs to be corrected, not only on the streets where we live, coming together as community and as family. These things need to be brought to the light and agreed on. Not in a village. I wish they would stop saying the village, but if a village is something that you know about, then learn about what a village is before you start talking about be like a village.
Well, you know, a village, in a village, you look in terms of what is good for the collective whole. Yep. And you make decisions, making sure that everybody has their needs met and everybody's well-being is of concern. Because a village is close-knit, everybody knows everybody. It's not like a big impersonal metropolitan area where everybody's strangers and you don't really care who's suffering. If we're going to talk about being a village, that means we have to care about the people in our midst. And that's what is missing, because we have people in our midst that are doing us harm because they don't see themselves connected to us.
Well, we're not making it clear, Naima, the connection.
Yeah.
We're not making it clear where the authority lies, where the love is. We're not making it very clear. So it's when things are muggy and they're not clear, then they cannot hear. They cannot adhere to what is not clear. Mm-hmm. And adults, we are still fumbling around. And so woman to woman and man to man, what does that really mean in terms of our cooperation and our collaboration and our divine design? There are things that we have to ask again. The journey of truth said, who will teach the poor slave child? And because we were not properly in the beginning of our genesis in America, then we entered someone else's game, someone else's educational system, which had nothing to do with us. A train going towards their destination, and all we did was get on board.
Mm.
And we always find ourselves where we don't want to go. That's why we have people who have master degrees, PhDs, God bless them, I'm thankful for that. But when they come out looking for a job. That's still a mind of being a property of someone else. You have not yet identified who you are. And when you have a doctor's degree, a master's degree, to me, if you were properly taught, you would be coming out with the mind to employ and to duplicate what you've done for a better life and better world and better families.
Well, you know, one thing, and I love this saying, no one will save us from us, for us, but us.
Brother.
If we're looking for somebody else to fix this problem, it's not going to happen. The answer is always within. Well, before we go to break, I want to get a thought from Brother Kareem in terms of what is it that we should be teaching our children in the home above and beyond the schools, because the schools are designed to produce people to work in factories or whatever other mass-producing apparatus is going on. It doesn't teach principles. It doesn't teach values. It doesn't teach ethics. And so that's why we don't see it coming out of the schools. So the foundation has to come from the home. So, Kareem, what do you see as a first step in addressing this fragmentation that has occurred between men and women, and as you pointed out, often no longer are we teaching children to grow up and form families that are then connected to a village, a group of people, in which everybody's looking out for each other's needs. What is our first step to rectifying that situation?
Yes, thank you, and of our most vital and critical subject matter. At the opening, Mama Joy mentioned play, you know, of and what role one would have in the play. Almighty God tells us in the Quran that He did not create the creation for sport and play, that the creation is a serious matter. And some men and women refer to themselves as players. You know, a man that has a lot of women, he's called a player. A woman that have a lot of men, she's called a player. The subject matter in the African-American community is, do you have game? Are you in the game? It is not treated seriously. A game. God did not create us for mere sport and play. That life is serious.
Yes, and, it is.
And when it comes to education, when it comes to, and that education begins in the home, we have to ask ourselves, how will we meet human needs? Human needs. Not a player, not a diva, one of the most, currently, what's going on in the so-called game and in the streets is the album that Beyonce Knowles just completed and dropped. They had nerve enough to even announce that on mainstream news, Beyonce's album that she just dropped. And you should see the cover of the album. She's very scantily dressed and sitting on a transparent horse. A transparent horse. The horse is synonymous to energy. Energy. And she's astride this transparent energy. Dressed scantily. Now, this is mother. This is mama. His mother. And so our life has been treated as something to play with, and we have been active members in playing the game. It's not a game.
Yes, it is.
It's not a game. God did not create us for sport and play. He created us so that we be productive and that we grow. And take your life seriously. Mama is not a thought. She's not hot mama. She's not sugar mama and all of these other things. We have to get back to what we essentially are and what is our purpose. What is our purpose on earth? You are more than flesh and blood. You are a spirit housed within that. Housed within this flesh and blood. And that spirit, praise be to Almighty God, has been designed to provide the needs for a healthy life, for a good moral character. I stated on the radio this past Monday, there's a problem of an abundance of women, single women, and single men, and single-headed households. And the question was, how will men be produced with the lack of men, of male participation?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the alternative? Should we just surrender to that and say, oh, well, I offered us an alternative. When a man asks our prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, what should I give my ultimate respect for? After Almighty God, the prophet Muhammad answered him. He said, your mother. The man said, and then what? Your mother. And he asked a third time, then what? Your mother. Then he asked a fourth time, he said, your father. Now, that leads me to understand the importance of the female and the importance of mother. When the prophet would say of anything three times, It was to indicate the seriousness of what was being said. My suggestion to us is that the mother is the first teacher, and she's very important. My suggestion is, single mother, you know how you want to be treated. Teach your sons and your daughters how to treat you, how to respect you, how to be honest mm-hmm. with you. So we can't just accept the fact, oh, well, there's no men. I'm pointing to the importance of the mother teaching the son how to treat her. There are men that will not disrespect their mother, and as a consequence, they will not disrespect women. They will care for their mother, and as a consequence of that, they care for their wives and children. So this is not a game it is Satan that introduces us to sport and play. Sport and play. Matter of fact, they used to call it the sporting life. The sporting life. We're not players. We are human beings. We are grown men and women. And we need to take our lives as serious as we want others to take our lives. And don't be swayed by what is presented in the media. We have to stay focused. Mm-hmm. Or we are being led down a path that is guaranteed for failure. And also, we should work with one another. I keep saying we have to stop this invisible war between the male and the female.
Yes, that is what we have to collaborate
with each other and produce the best children that we can, God-fearing children. This is not a game. Not sport and play. This is serious.
Well, so we've heard what we should do. Now the question is how. And we got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the how. And I'm going to give you a couple of situations, a couple of scenarios, and you all can give your advice on how to best resolve those situations, the how to resolve. Real-life situations that people are experiencing that are affecting the families and the communities in which we live. So we'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, please give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We've got some callers on the switchboard. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you are watching this
on
Facebook.
The board.
All righty. Well, if you've got one that's pressed one, we'll come to yours first when we come back from the break. And if you are joining us on Facebook Live, just type in your comments. We'll bring it up on the screen and share it with our listening and viewing audience. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
and I'm Naima. We're Three Black Moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we've got with us today Mama Joy, bringing some joy to the world. And we're joined with our co-host and American Muslim 360 family. And we are talking today. We got to talk woman to woman.
Woman to woman. Woman to woman.
Do men pit us against each other in competition for love? This is something that I am seeing in our community, and I can see the direct correlation between our destroyed families, our broken families, our unformed families, our families with children having no father in them, and the criminal behavior of our children. We just heard a commercial by Dr. Willie Wilson, who's running for mayor of the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been talking about the economic disparities that lead to crime. But it's more, I think, it's more than just the poverty, because there are a lot of poor people in the world who are not carjacking folks or killing folks or sticking up folks or beating up old women and snatching their purses. So it isn't just the absence of money. It's the absence of ethics, morals, and values. Care for your fellow human being. That's what's missing. And if it doesn't happen in the home, like Kareem was saying, if it's not taught in the home, it's not going to manifest in the society. But it can't be taught if the women, who are the foundation of the family, if we're not talking to each other, if we're not in harmony, if we're fighting each other, and we're being pitted against each other by men who are enjoying playing us, then we can't fix these problems. And then we're frightened of the children that we've raised that are now angry and out of control and lacking self-control and lacking respect for women, respect for parents, respect for women or men. There's no respect. And so now we're afraid. We got to call in an armed militia, the police, to control our children. And then we get horrified when they over-police and shoot down some college student on a because they're paranoid, because they're conditioned to think that every young black child is a potential murderer. So we have this extreme situation that we have created with our disharmony. We did this, nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to blame the devil, because, you know, the lower vibrational energy that we have called Satan and given other names to, that only has access to you when you're of a lower vibration. So if you don't want that energy to influence you, you got to raise your own vibration. You got to have a higher value that you live by. And when you don't, then you sink down to that lower vibrational thinking, and that's what influences your thoughts. So we're responsible 100% of the time for what we manifest. So how? So Kareem has said some things that we need to do. The question is, how do we do it? Especially if women, we can't even talk to each other because we're so mad at each other because we're competing with each other for what we're believing is limited access to love. Anytime you believe something's limited, then you feel like you got to fight for it, which means you can't have harmony. So how do we fix that situation that we collectively have created? That's the question.
That's a good point, a great point, Naima. And I just want to commend Brother Kareem and his stand, because, no, God did not create the game. Did not create the game, but it goes back to what our mother, Sojourner Truth, stated. Who will teach the poor black child? Let us understand that this is a historical situation that was going on long before our ancestors were liberated or emancipated.
Yeah.
Let's keep in mind that a gentleman did not work with his hands.
Mm-hmm.
The aristocracy and the rich did not make their money by their hands. The common man worked. The rich man played games.
Right.
He made money on people.
Mm.
Huh?
That's true. That's
so
true.
We entered into a lifestyle that, however way it was structured from their mother country of England, and mind you, when you are birthed from a mother, you're birthed from a certain culture, there's things that you may disagree with, and we know that the Revolutionary War went on. But you cannot come out of the culture unless you face it.
That's who you are.
They still kept their mother's ways because they were in bondage. They were enslaved. They only knew how to treat other people and subjugating them. So they never learned their true identity as a child of God. They never learned their true identity of their relationship with God and the earth, who didn't look like them.
Mm. So that being the case, Mama Joy, that being the case, then we should not be looking to those people to fix this problem. They cannot. They do not have
exactly.
the knowledge.
Exactly. And not get angry with them.
Right.
Can't just deal with the truth of that their ways of life is not our way.
It should
and
not
we can
be.
Still, you know, and so to me, what is important, get rid of the shame. Get rid of the shame that we have that makes us angry.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the school system as a lab technician for nearly 30 years. And when resource papers came up, and I would have kids to come, I mean, often, who were ashamed. They could not do a family tree.
Mm.
They could not do any reports about their family because they were ashamed.
Yeah, didn't know who their father was.
They were ashamed. And when I would pull them out, a young man told me, he said, Ms. Woods, he said, this hurts me so bad. I said, I don't understand, honey. I said, you've been on this for 3 weeks. It's due. He said, look, my mother won't tell me who my father is.
Mm.
And she's living with this man who hates me because I am a child of another man.
Mm.
He said, I can't do this report. You know, I'm telling you, sometimes we are so distanced from our children till we do not understand the pains of the children, and we don't understand their lives. We see them, but we don't know where they come from or what they have to endure.
Right.
And I met a young man the other day, because I do a little Ubering every night, and just so I get the pulse of what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and when you're in that spirit, and Brother Kareem, I can hear that he too, God will bring people to you. See, we have to come to the understanding that even the way God was presented to us from them is not.
Wasn't healthy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we, and a young man told me, he said, I'm enjoying riding with you so much, he said, because you remind me of what a grandmother should be.
Ooh.
Mm. And I'm driving, I'm saying, what do you mean? He says, I never had a grandmother. I never had a grandparent. I said, really? He said, I didn't know them. Mm. He said, but I can feel something in you that makes me feel that I belong.
Mm.
And it was kind of distracting me in a way because I wasn't ready for that conversation. I'm going towards my destination.
Mm-hmm.
But yet my heart tells me that this young man needs to be heard. And some kind of way I could connect with him.
Wow.
I didn't have the luxury of putting on the side because he's paying, right? So
yeah.
I keep moving. So it was really a really awkward situation for me. But he told me, he said, because you're giving me what I feel is wisdom.
Mm.
And we don't have that.
Right.
I said, well, what about your mom and dad? He said, well, my dad left us when I was five. He said, and I never saw him again. I never talked to him again. He said, and then 3 years later, my mother, I woke up one morning and my mother was gone.
Ooh, oh my.
And I said, your mother was gone? He said, yes. He said, and I was in the house. He said, I guess they paid for the house or something. He said, nobody came and put me out. He said, and I got with some other of my friends. This is the story.
Wow.
He said, and Mama Joy, he said, there are thousands of children like me. They're children. He said there are thousands of us, not in the world or the country, in Chicago.
Wow.
He said we literally raised ourselves.
Yes.
And he said when my brother had crackers and cheese, I had crackers and cheese. And if I had some meat, we had meat. He said we literally raised ourselves. He said, my friend, I owe it to him now. He said he educated me. He taught me algebra. This is here in the city of Chicago. And he said, I said, well, what about the mothers of these children? He said, well, they were on drugs. He said, I, as a young man, I never knew one person who had a daddy.
Wow. Oh, my. Well, did you hear that, Grace? This is the generation.
Uh-huh.
It is rare to have two parents in a household.
I never knew. And I'm driving, and I'm saying, Lord, help this child because I am on the job, but God put me there so I could hear this young man's story. He said, there's thousands. Now, I asked him, I said, well, how old are you? I thought he was about 40. He was 30 years old. He said, we need the wisdom of the grandmothers. They don't have, many of them don't even know their grandmothers. He said, and I'm not one. Knew one of the children who knew their daddies.
Wow.
And this is something. Mothers are living in shame. And one of the things that's missing, Naima, is that the truth of their history, the truth of who they are, where they come from. And, of course, and most importantly, we have to get rid of the shame of being descendants of so-called slaves. I term them as sacred, distinguished servants of America. We've got to change it. We're not descendants of slaves, but we're descendants of distinguished servants of Almighty God, hallelujah, here in America, that made this country what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can look at what it is and say, yes, we did this, and we will not be ashamed of our history, but see it as a part of what our greatness is, and take ownership of our citizenship, and worked it, because many of our people, even the young men, they don't even know what citizenship is.
No.
They cannot participate in the system. It's just not going and putting a ballot up. What is a citizen? Take ownership of your community.
Yes.
Take ownership of your block. That is what is needed. And rid ourselves of the shame. No one can do that but ourselves. and turn it into God's head. Not as a game. Mm. I agree. God did not make a game. But we were taught by people who played sports. We were taught by people
Ooh.
Who reverence sports. And
Ooh.
That's what they do.
Yes. Well, we're going to take a caller, and Kareem, we'll go to your switchboard first, and then we'll go. We got three folks that have pressed one on our switchboard. So I'm going to take you all in this order after we take the American Muslim 360 caller, 863-816, and then 312-802, and then 111-111. So just hold on. Hold tight. We're going to get to all of you all. So hold on. First, let's go to your caller, Kareem. Go right ahead.
Okay. Error code 727-916. Please, Mother Nada Abdullah, state your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you so much, Kareem. And I know others are waiting, and the beauty of this presentation this morning, or this reminder, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, Martha Nada Abdullah, calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. And reference, I'll start this way. I'm loving it all because it's resonating here. That the relationship of the human being and the creator, and then understanding that there's that relationship of the science and of the material and the spiritual world, and that's being brought out. And that pattern that we see in the physical, if we go to the biology of everything, we will see how Almighty God definitively shows that the two producing the one, but the message in between has to be carried. And the actions that we see outward is already explaining clearly that the messenger or the message has not been clearly shared. And I'm going back to that from the faith of us. If we have the desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I say, Almighty God, highly glorified is God. If the spirit in us, if the will, the desire to connect with the Creator and to learn and to know, then God will raise up within the midst of all of us those who are desiring to know. And that is what is happening now all over this globe. And I think it's happening right here in this moment that we are putting forth the desire to know and then the how-to, and that Almighty God will give the answers as we are all striving in one way or another. And I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to take up too much time on others. But thank you so very much. God peace be upon you.
Thank you so much, Sister Martha Nyla from St. Petersburg, Florida. Yeah, so we're up against the clock now. So we're going to take another break. And then callers, hold on. We're coming to you right after the break. One short thing I wanted to address that you said, Brother Kareem, about Beyonce. You know, when you are an entertainer and you generate a lot of income because people purchase your entertainment, whether it's your music, your songs, your dancing, whatever it is, then you become a commodity, and you are then part of what others use to generate income. And so Beyonce, as one who generates a lot of sales of her music and her performances, she is one of America's big commodities. And this is what we see when we see the media announcing her record sales and all of that, and her new albums and so forth. So what you see in terms of her presentation, her visual image, is part of the packaging of her as a commodity. Now, if this is what we are presenting and the lifestyle she's able to live as a result of the income she generates is something that is valued and admired, and the story that our young girls are given is, if you look like this and act like this, then you too will be revered as this person is revered, then that is the lesson that we're teaching our young girls. So now, Beyonce's talent is God-given, as all our talent is God-given. But when you become a commodity that is used to generate income for so many other entities that benefit from your talent, then, of course, the influence that you have can be misused and misdirected so that our children are not seeing how do I create songs that are impactful in terms of teaching deeper principles or values or inspiring the spirit. All we get are songs that celebrate sexuality and not necessarily in a way that is encouraging cohesive families or loyalty to a community or village. What we get is basically encouragement to play with each other as things, as objects, and that is how that talent has been misused in misguiding our young people. How do we benefit from one whose God-given talent can do so much good but has been misused by those who don't have our best interest at heart? How do we do that? That's our challenge. We'll take a quick break.
We have to. Yes, ma'am.
Well, go ahead, and then we'll take a break after you respond to that.
Yes. We have to encourage self-respect. Self-respect. Dignified position. Dignified behavior. God says that he has dignified all the descendants of Adam. Dignity. Self-respect. There is a comedian that he was offered millions of dollars to put on a dress.
Oh yeah, Dave Chappelle.
On stage.
And he said,
his inner dignity, his inner manhood, his inner self-respect, he did not allow him to disrespect himself. So, you know, Beyonce does not own herself. She is under contract. She is under a contract. So
that is the entertainment industry.
That this is her right. It is not that this is her desire to do that. She has sold the commodity. She has sold herself to the powers that be. And Beyonce is an influence. The devil says, in the end, during judgment, people will say, well, he made me do it. Satan will plead innocence. He will say, no, I did not make them do anything. I only suggested, and they followed that suggestion.
Thank you.
Well, we're all here on our own free will. We have the power to choose, so no one can blame anybody. That's absolutely right. No one can blame anybody for the choices that they make because we all have the power to choose. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. 863, Arizona 863, you're up next. Then 312, you're up next. Then 111, you're up after that. And if you have any other callers on the American Muslim 360 line, let us know. We'll come to you after that. We'll be right back. We got Mama Joy with us today, and we are talking about woman to woman. Men pit us against each other in competition for love. Not a good thing, but it's happening. How do we fix it? We'll be right back.
It is what it is.
We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. Thank you.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. We've got Mama Joy with us today. And along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, we're talking woman to woman today. Do men pit us against each other in competition for love? We got to take a look at it because we got a whole lot of players out here. And as we said, this is not a game. Life is not a game. It's very serious. If we're going to play a game, then we must play the kind of game where everybody wins. Because if you have losers, then we all lose. So how do we take the game of life seriously enough to know that when we neglect our children, it comes back to destroy us? This is the reality of life. It's a serious business. And we must know that whatever we put forth in our children is going to come back to us. And if we have generations of children who have not had the care, the guidance, the protection, the teaching of a cohesive partnership of parents, they're going to be a destructive force in the community. This is what we are seeing. It's time for us to stop blaming others for what we created and what we have the power to reform. We have the power, and if no one is going to save us
from us, for us, but us. So let's go back now. I believe we've got our co-host back on the line, and we want to take some calls. And again, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so we can open your mic. We've got 4 calls in line, so after 863 and 312 and 111, we're going to go to 773-960 after that. So just hold on. We're going to get to everybody's call. So area code 863-816, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comment.
Yeah, L.A., Central Florida. I'm glad you have this, the title of the podcast today, as a question. Do men pit us against each other for competition? I'm glad that's a question, not a statement, because there are women players out there. There are women who go on sex vacations. There are cougars out there. For those who don't know what a cougar is, it's typically a woman who intentionally dates a man 10 years older than, I mean, there's no formal definition on it, but she will not date a man her age. She dates men who are, you know, dramatically younger than her. And I personally, I don't think there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what they do. And there are men out here that are raising children that they think they share the same DNA with their child, but they don't, because the woman has stepped out. She knew she stepped out. She knew it's not his, but she's got this other guy paying for a child that's not his. So they're players on both sides, Val. I'll land my plane there.
Well, you know, that's true. That's true. So how do men feel when they find out that they have been deceived and a woman has had a child that is fathered by someone else? They've been raising that child as their own, and sometimes they kind of feel something, but they just, you know, they go ahead and raise the child anyway. But at some point it comes out, either maybe the child has an accident, you know, they need a blood transfusion, something happens where they discover this is not my child. And of course, we know, you know, the show host has made a whole business out of Maury's show is all about people who are trying to discover the DNA of their children and the identity of the fathers. But how does it feel as a man, L.A.? How does it feel when a man discovers he's been deceived that way?
Me personally, I wouldn't like it. And then there are real-life cases, and I'm glad you brought up Maury. And then what's that other guy, Jerry Springer? There's some guys that they go violent on it because they have a snap reaction. So, but me personally, I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, it's a hurtful thing. And I guess it's a thing deep within a man's psyche, because over the centuries we've seen so many measures that have come up in various cultures to try to control a woman's sexual behavior. Everything from the Chinese that would break a girl child's feet so she couldn't walk too well, the thought was you can't stray away if she can't walk. So, I mean, they just got rid of that cultural practice, you know, maybe less than a century ago. And then you've got female circumcision. A lot of East African communities where the idea is, well, if she can't enjoy sex, she's not likely to step out on her husband. So, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, we've got all these different ways that men have tried to control women's sexual behavior so that they don't experience that. We don't really have ways that women can control men's sexual behavior other than the threat of divorce and taking them to court and taking up everything they have, which is what is happening now. When women find out and a man's been unfaithful, she goes to court, she sues him for child support, alimony, every other thing, and often her desire to bankrupt him as punishment for having a relationship outside the marriage. So before we take another caller, L.A., what do you think about that?
Like I said,
is that justice?
It goes on both sides of the table. I have not personally been involved in anything because I try to avoid dramatic people. I start out in the friend zone. So I typically find out what their past is like, and if they have anything that I, you know, like if I hear stories that they've been in, I mean, they've been in relationships where they've been, when they claim to be the victim of, what do you call it, domestic abuse, if they've been in 2, 3, 4 relationships when they've had to call the police, then we're staying forever in the friend zone. So I don't know. I just don't go down that path because I don't do drama.
I think that's wise, because if you got drama, you did something to create it, whatever it is. Not to blame people who are in domestic violence situations, but that is a red flag. Thank you, L.A. We appreciate you. Let me take one more call, and then we'll get some responses from Mama Joe and Brother Kareem. 312-802, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments.
Grand Rising, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, loud and clear.
Yes, ma'am. Minister Cynthia Marie Williams calling from Chicago, Illinois. South side of Chicago, born Mississippi,
right.
74 years ago. Birthday coming up September the 18th, and I give the age because it doesn't matter. We're all ageless in the spirit-soul dynamic. But I give the age because that generation of us who are the so-called young baby boomers, I was born in 1948, and going through the civil rights movement, and those strong people down in Mississippi and Alabama, I mean, we have to look at that history, which we don't. Those were some strong, and those were children. When you think about it, those were children who did not like how their parents were being treated. They had nothing to say to speak to them about it, but they went on and had the strength of character to protest. It was dangerous. But then he had some other mamas and daddies that was out there too, besides John Lewis. See, we get too focused on personality. When you look at the documentaries of the Selma Watch, I want you to pay attention. There was a big fat woman there. That policeman picked her up and her slides, which he used to call down south, her slippers were coming off. What happened to her?
Yeah,
there was another one that was smaller. Same thing. See, there's too much focus in this world on the male. But that issue is another level of conversation. But as born Cynthia Jones, by a midwife, when I looked at my birth certificate in Memphis, Tennessee, what was that said? The black man who never had to catch me. When I came out my mama's womb. And I'm in the hospital, Shelby County, Mississippi, I was at the hospital. But here's the point I'm making. My generation lost it. When we, after the civil rights movement, were able to move north in a much better atmosphere because we wanted to get away from the racism and all of that. And when we came north, New York, Harlem, Chicago, we all wanted that. And those immigrants from the South, those men and women wanted better. And they got better because they had the mind. They could barely read and write, some of them. Come on now. Everybody didn't have no picket fence down south. You had black folks, and the word P-O-O-R didn't even come up. That was not a consciousness of black people. Remember now, Tulsa, Oklahoma was not the only out of a black business.
That's true.
There were others across the country. And because black people had to work together because of the racism of the area, then Caucasians got upset at that. I had a black police officer told me, his grandfather told him, they were told to go to the circus. And when they came back, the white folks was in there destroying their little area. So it wasn't just Tulsa. We as a people have that generosity of spirit, that brilliancy that we lost in achieving coming up north. And remember now, they have projects all across this country. What are we going to do with these black folks coming from the South? So here in Chicago was Mayor Daley and all those re-engineered Robert Taylor, Stateway Garden, all the Ickies and all these projects here in Chicago. And on the website, yes, ma'am.
Cynthia, you point out a very significant issue, and that is when we face the most oppression is when we banded together and created very thriving communities. And it was as a result of the need to survive and overcome oppression. So in a sense, the oppression actually was a positive motivator for us to have unity consciousness. That's what it takes to get out of oppression is unity consciousness. So knowing that, we can't get out of this mess that we've made without unity consciousness, seeing ourselves as a collective, knowing that we've got to share what we have, we've got to work together, we've got to combine our resources, and we can get out of this mess that we've made. But now the unity consciousness is missing, and we're divided, and this
I think for my age group, we lost it when we came up north after the Civil Rights Movement. I remember my age group was going on cruises, trips, and all kind of stuff, and buying these kids these $300 leather coats. All the materialistic things came through, Michael Jordan shoes. And it wasn't anything taught of those things that we knew about growing up or going back to grandmama down south. They didn't want to separate ourselves from Mississippi. So there was shame in that. And when you work with Caucasians, they always talk about being Irish and Ireland and all that. So you felt a shame about even talking about, where did you come from? Well, I didn't come from nowhere.
So what do you think about?
We had this division amongst us when we came north as black people.
So, Mama, So, Minister Cynthia, before I take the next caller, what do you think about Mama Joy's suggestion that we redefine that experience that we had instead of looking at, you know, shameful? You must have been the stupidest people on earth because you let yourself get enslaved and abused. Instead of us framing it that way and carrying shame with us about that past, that we look at it as being proud of the strength that we had and the skills that we had that were the foundation of this nation, and we value those people for having the integrity that they had to maintain their humanity despite being treated the most inhumane way, and realize that we were in fact the foundation, the economic engine that created this nation to the level that it now enjoys as a world power, and that we take ownership of our efforts, our skills, our value, and embrace our citizenship and take responsibility for building communities within this nation and being proud of those who set that foundation as opposed to being ashamed. What is your thought on that? Is that something doable, or would that be difficult? And then I'm going to take one more call before we take a break.
I've been doing it for the longest, and that is letting that power, that brilliancy and genius that's in us and coming from the South, looking at my grandmother and all of them, 5, 6 years old, Memphis, Tennessee. Elvis was the only one that lived in Memphis. But we were right across the street from Mississippi. And we were children. My mother was seated and crying. I must have been about 5 years old, 6. And everybody was sad, and she kept crying. They killed them. I started crying. So who was that? Emmett Till. So we live right across the street from Crosswise in Mississippi. So So during that time, when that occurred, what happened when we moved north later on, and by me, that was a blessing that my father moved to Chicago. Because I, being the oldest and coming in very curious, I was multicultural, very, very smart, but also was able to exceed because he, who's a belly reason like, moved us to where? Hyde Park. Check this out now. We talking about in the 50s. My father could barely read and write. Who rented that 53rd, 304 Southwood Block apartment to him? And that was Willie Levine, the Jewish management company. So there's some historical things going on here. And my mother, let me get to the mom real quick. I grew up being a Muslim. I've learned over the years in my association about what Brother Kareem, the mother. But let me tell you, my mother didn't do anything. So we girls grew up, we did not curse, drink, smoke, or nothing. She didn't do anything. First of all, she was scared to death of my father. But yet still, that standard from the South was there. He took his paycheck, and he gave it to my mother and provided. And those men protected. Understand Maya Angelou and what happened to her. He thought that she was the cause of that man being killed. But black men back then, let me say that I agree with what occurred. But her book talks about the sociological history. So my mother, as a mother, showed me an example of nothing that was negative. I had other women tell me when I was 20, well, this is what you do and this is what you do. And what everyone said about constantly feeding girls stuff that's negative, that's what was happening to me. But I didn't grow up looking at that.
That's what we have to do, Minister Cynthia, is the mothers that are raising children now, we've got to instill those values, but we need the support. We need that co-parenting structure, because children need to see what harmony between a husband and wife looks like, and we need to find ways to reach out to those other children who are raising themselves, as we've heard, those children that Mama Joy talks about, and there are thousands of them that had no functional parents. And how do we do that? How do we help those who need a mother figure, who need a grandmother figure, who need a father figure, who need a grandfather figure? They need wise elders, and they don't have them. And so they don't have guidance. And it can't happen unless we have that spirit of cooperation that we had during the times when we built those places like Tulsa, Oklahoma, and others. We got to rebuild that collective consciousness of community. How do we see ourselves as a unit and not as separate parts playing each other? We got to take another break. Minister Cynthia, thanks so much for joining us. And, of course, we want you all to go to Minister Cynthia's Facebook page. We're helping her to finance the homegoing celebration of her husband Michael Williams, who was the victim of a hit-and-run accident, and his transition was a few weeks ago, and his ceremony, his celebration of his life is upcoming, and we want you to go to her Facebook page. That was Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, at M-I-N, Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S. Please go to the Facebook page and scroll down so you see the picture of her tall, handsome husband. Says GoFundMe. Hit the GoFundMe link, and that will bring you to where you can make a donation. And we are, as a community, helping to finance the celebration. So please do that for us. We'll be right back after this quick break. 111-111, you're up next. And then after you, 773-960. And if you've got a question or comment and want to comment, on Facebook, just write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience, or you can call in 515-605-9325. And if you're on our switchboard now, just press 1. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
And here we go. Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we have with us Mama Joy. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. If you're on our switchboard now and have a comment, press 1. So we're going to go back to our callers, and of course, if you have comments on Facebook, we'll gladly share them with our listening and viewing audience. And let's go to area code 111. 111, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments.
Grand rising, hallelujah, greeting all. I just want to say one thing about the black family. Our whole problem has been this identity issue. That's why you wrote your book, The Female Solution, probably some time back. It's actually resurrecting itself because we really have to redefine what family means now. When our people are, you know, first of all, society taught us that we were supposed to be sexual for the wrong reason. That's why old men used to tell me, well, just tell her anything she wants to hear to get what you want. Now, how does that bode for making children? You running in, lying, telling somebody you love them and didn't even care about them, just wanted what, and she's thinking you do. And then you got a child that's coming through, and you wonder why the children did carjack their grandparents. Nobody's paying no respect. They don't even get together for the right reason. You know, an interesting thing, we have a show called Poetic Romance. And when you do the basic thing called, people think about romance as man and woman, the two people together and all this. Do you know romance and love starts with the Most High? It ain't got nothing to do with being, it doesn't have anything to do with being in a relationship with anybody else. It starts with the Creator. You love Him first. That's where you get love from, and then all the things around that, nature, the universe. So when we get back to the fact of a family, we think of a family as my mama and my daddy and my cousin and my family's larger than that. How do you think we came from the South to the North and made it and were successful? We helped each other. Today, all of a sudden, you got your fancy house out in Homewood and somewhere, and somebody live in the hood, and they don't even talk to each other no more, nor do the sisters, brothers, or cousins even meet up with each other. So it's an identity problem. Because if we have proper identity, then brothers would lie to sisters to get with them. They would stop and become their friends. They wouldn't be exploiting young girls like TV's teaching you, and these stars that are running around half naked with their contracts and all this stuff that everybody's following behind because it's on the screen. Why are you so tuned in to screen time all the time? TV screen, your cell phone screen, a video screen, your laptop screen. Why don't you put the screen down? But you got the screen telling you what to think and what to do. So why are we all fighting each other? That child that's born to somebody that lied, they end up having a baby. Both people are supposed to love that child. It wasn't the child's fault. So we need to regroup and change our identity. Those women are supposed to get together in a triangle conversation and start talking to each other. They will find they have more in common than what they think. And instead of being mad over some man, they'll be unified around building up our people. Not some petty stuff that they could advertise on TV with Jerry Springer and Maureen and make us look like a joke. But that starts because we don't get together physically for the right reasons. People supposed to get together because they're on the same pathway of life. You're thinking on the same spiritual level. Y'all are going in the same direction because you can do a greater work together. That makes you help build a better world. So when you bring in children and you all already have a multiple purpose, look at the purpose those children will begin with, a legacy. But if you're just having a baby because somebody told you he loved you and he don't even know you, you ain't met him, he's 22 and you 20, and you got a baby, now who's going to take care of this child that don't nobody care about? He done disappeared. What the young man say earlier? I had my daddy and I seen him once. And he disappeared. I ain't seen him since. How is that a way to live? My sister had a child. Oh, I just wanted to point one thing. My sister had a baby on a cruise. It was the only child she ever had. She went on a cruise with my girlfriend. She came back pregnant and she had the child. As the baby, as my niece grew up, she wanted to know who her father was. My sister couldn't tell her really because she sent. Of course, she got pregnant. Later, told a man she was pregnant. Found out he was. You know, he was on the ship. He had another family. It was about a two-letter thing, and that was it. Because, I mean, if he's got another family and he's living in another country, what are the chances of that? But this is the point. Suppose we were unified as a people enough, it wouldn't have mattered if he had a family. She should have been able to know her sisters and brothers. She had to go to counseling because of that. And she's a very successful young lady. But that's not the point. The point is, we need the unity. We need to know our half-brothers and half-sisters and our half-daddies and half-mamas. I don't have any children. But you know what? All the children of the world are mine. I treat them all special. Even when their parents don't get along with them, they can talk with me because I don't judge them. I take them for who they are, where they are. And the last piece is this. The people that run around teaching religion and get so saved and I'm so great and I'm a saint, y'all a sinner. It's so interesting to me because in life, we're all connected. If I'm a saint now, I was a sinner, so what makes me any better today than yesterday? But this is the point. If I'm such a saint, why ain't I busy helping other people get up off the ground since I'm so strong? And I'm making money just so that I can look good in front of everybody and drive by y'all in some tinted window cars or something like that. Well, I don't think so. I think we're supposed to get out of the car and help everybody. And the day we do and realize our identity as a family, that will end. Hallelujah.
I totally agree. Well, you know, brother, you said a whole lot that makes sense. The challenge that we have is really changing what we have put inside of our children early on in life. Now, you mentioned my book, The Female Solution, and of course, I made a lot of those points that culturally we need to change some things that we're doing. We need to think in terms of our collective well-being. There are a lot of cultures where families are very much connected, and they may have different parents. There are a lot of families where men are raising other men's children for whatever reason.
Always.
Absent, disabled, whatever.
Naima, we need multiple mothers and multiple daddies, and we need multiple people in our lives. They don't have to be our blood parents. We need other people. Suppose
you
those
raise
mothers could get together
to have
children by other men, and they could bring their families together so that they could get more. Instead of fighting each other, we should be embracing each other. That's all I'm saying.
So before I take another caller, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
What should men be taught as boys to prepare them emotionally to be able to be a father to other men's children and even to be loving to women, not playing them against each other, but to actually be a family support to other women when they engage in the act of intimacy? What should young boys be learning now that they haven't been learning in the past that would create that kind of character in them?
That's a great question.
That's
a great question. Let me answer first. And then you can go for it.
Can I speak to that?
Can I answer it first?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Well, first our caller, real quick, you give us your thought, and then Kareem, give us your thought.
First of all, one of your hosts, Mama D, wrote a poem about the boys. The boys called manhood. It said, a boy builds a family. Manhood is mastery over the man. You teach these young, I teach the young men to respect all women because they're mothers of life. They carry us. We don't disrespect them. You shouldn't be slapping them around. You should be doing none of that. You should respect them. Your old men should let the young girls grow up and show them some ultimate respect. And furthermore, we should just be nice to each other. We should be friendly to a woman. It ain't about getting in her pants. It's about treating all women with respect. And if you do that, and stop that and treat them all with respect, then the women can make the selection of the man that they choose. We ain't got to be choosing nobody. I appreciate you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you. So, Kareem, what are your thoughts on that? What should we be teaching boys? And we got two more calls we're going to take after that. But, Kareem,
okay,
what should we be teaching boys now?
I'll try to be very brief. We mentioned the Amari show, but I have seen men that it was proven that child was not theirs, and men have said, I love this child. It doesn't matter. I'm going to love, nurture, and raise this child regardless to whether they are from my loins or not. The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, has said, any man that educates two daughters are guaranteed paradise. Now, he didn't say that educate your two daughters, any two daughters, they gain paradise. And as far as men, you know, I'm one that I believe we need to be talked to flat foot. What do I mean flat foot? Not all erudite, not using big old words, trying to sound like we just stepped out of Cambridge somewhere. Yes, seriously, because there is one thing that African-American men demand, and that is respect. They will fight you if they feel that you have disrespected you. We need to let men know that other men on this earth are laughing at you. You call yourself a man, but other men on this earth are laughing at you. You are not maintaining your own families. That's a man. You have no control over the communities in which you live. That's what men do. You are a playful child. Your woman is my woman. Matter of fact, you are my woman. I provide for you. I plan your future and your children's future, and you call yourself a man. That's the kind of talk we need to share with each other.
So once we let them know what manhood is.
Yes. And so stop running around beating your chest. I'm a man, but you're not even controlling the block in which you live. And I don't mean controlling it by guns and violence. I mean improving on the community in which you live, taking care of your women. Our women are left unprotected because you are playful. You are a little boy. I'll stop right there.
Well, that is what they need to hear, but then they also need the skills in order to do that, and they need to see it so they can be it. So let me go to Eric Code 773-960.
They have the skills. We possess everything we need. We have the skills. No one has to teach us. It is already within us. We have to have self-respect, and respect for kith and kind. You are responsible for the state of your people.
Ah, well, that's the challenge. So, error code 773-960. How do we instill, or how do we bring out of men what is in them, so that the shape of our communities change from one that is self-destructive to one that is cohesive and building and thriving? What needs to change inside the person, and how do we make that happen? Eric Code 773-960. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud and clear.
Good morning, Cookie James. Well, they always say, you know, have a good man is always a good woman behind him. So, it's kind of funny. I create different terms, and the term I created today is World War Petty 3. World War Petty 3, which means everybody is just complaining about nothing. It's all over the internet. And
that's true.
People do. Sometimes I don't like to be too truthful. I'm in the kingdom of God. I found the kingdom of God, the kingdom of life.
That is state of mind.
That's
absolutely
my seat. So now, how do I help a man like you're asking? How do I help another man? Just by example.
Mm-hmm.
My presence, my being example, is good enough. I'm not out here trying to save the world. I've saved a lot of people. I've helped a lot of people by being consistent with my platform. And I tell people, if you come on my page or whatever, don't take it personal. I'm doing me. Be an example. Be an example and stop using the word we. Because if you use the word we, who are you including? Okay? That is the problem. You use the word we, now you take on the problems of the whole world. Be the I. Be the tree. What do trees have in common? And I'll put this out there. What do trees have in common with each other? Do they talk to each other every day? What do they have in common? They're rooted in the ground, in the soil, and they are there to bear fruit. Be that. Be the eye. Don't worry about
everybody. That's a good analogy. All right. Well,
battle.
Thank you for that.
See
That's an
eyes.
Excellent analogy. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
be the tree.
Be the tree.
All right.
All right.
And we thank you for that so much. Thank you for calling. Well, there you go. Be the tree. Be rooted in the ground and provide fruit for everybody. There you go. Let's go to area code 336-350, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Greetings, Dr. Lateef. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, loud and clear.
Greetings, family. Thank you, Brother Kofi, for being the tree analogy. And Brother Kareem, you're right on point. And the 111 brother, whoever he is, he said a whole lot. And I'm just asking, family, what happened? Why can you tell me? I'm like, what happened for this to be?
We left
like
our folksy ways. We left our folksy, traditional, southern way of being honest and living. We left that.
Mm.
We need to return back to our folksy ways and stop trying to be hip, cool, and in the game and all of that.
Why do you think we decided from your point of view
The decision was made for us.
Mm.
Look, let me use this analogy. We were moving ahead in our human rights struggle. Hollywood produced one movie that influenced us. The brother that was wearing the black tam, the leather jacket, and providing education and the breakfast meals for our children and us. They made one movie, Superfly, and it influenced us in a detrimental way. Pretty soon, that fro became processed hair, hanging down like a woman. Pulled off his combat boots, put on high heel shoes like Superfly, put on long fur coats like a woman, start carrying a purse like a woman, and called a player. We were influenced. Our leaders were not sufficiently educated enough socially to prohibit that. And from that one influence, that one movie, look at our condition now. But
we have progress. So now what do we learn from that? We learn not to allow movies, TV, internet, computers, cell phones, raise our children and give them values. What we learn from that experience is to take responsibility for what is influencing our children. We allow their eyes and ears to see and hear the things that influence them. And if we don't want that, then we must have the influence and set the example for our children by our own behavior. So all of us have collectively come up with a solution to this. The challenge is for us to go out and do that which we have said we must do. So Mama Joy, your thoughts as we wrap up?
Yes, we are wrapping up, and I've enjoyed this so greatly, and I have learned a lot. And mostly what I got, Naima and Brother Kareem, is that I can hear the hearts of the people who have participated. I can hear their and feel their desperation and also their search for solutions. Mm-hmm. And I feel that number one is that we understand that we all are here for good. The ones who are here, we all are here to do what God has willed us to be and to be the unique being that God has created us to be. The point is, how can we come together, as Naima is calling? We often speak about principles. May I share with you the simple principles that I followed and I was successful in working in my community?
All right.
And the principle was this. Number one, we are one.
Yes.
We are one. Let us remember that there's only one creator. Only one creator that has created all of us.
Yes.
Okay? That number two, that we are family.
Yes.
We are family. Whether you are, as the brother, the last brother that spoke just before Kareem, not over that, Kufi, Brother Kufi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're family. Whether we like it or not, we are family. But that's a responsibility that we have to create.
Mm-hmm.
Who, what family are you a part of? Not just our physical, personal family, but I created my blog. And that's to exercise the spirit of family.
Yes.
That every adult on this block is a mother and father of the children on this block and have a responsibility.
Yes.
So we're family. Number three is that we are related.
Yes.
Regardless if you're white, black, yellow, brown, polka dot, it doesn't matter. If you're male and female, if they come together, they make a baby. It lets us know that we're related and we're able to connect. We need each. We need the feminine and we need the masculine.
Yes.
Mine. That is where the relationship started. With the male and the female and coming together, producing others. And we have relationships.
Yes.
The fourth thing is that, let's see, we got the neighbors, we're related, we're family, and we're mothers and fathers of this planet.
Mm.
Yes. We're mothers and fathers of this planet. And when it's wise for us to be open to other thoughts outside of our own that looks like us. Simply because of the fact that we never, as a people, made the transition from being the property of others to being the property of self, as Brother Kareem speaks about Beyonce. No, she is doing a job. She has been... That she is a commodity. So what do? We get out, understand from our principles that we're one, that we're related, that we're family, that we're neighbors, that we are neighbors. Huh?
Yeah.
Love you one another. And is that we're mothers and fathers of the planet. That's very simple. And who's in conflict with that?
Absolutely, and all children should be part of a family somewhere.
Somewhere,
and people on their block need to come together.
I just want to do this before we leave. Is that everything that we have discussed is symptoms?
Yes,
they're symptoms. They are symptoms. So keep that in mind. It's a bigger picture operating here. There's symptoms, and it's like picking an apple tree. Oh, this one and that apple on the apple tree, picking the apples. But the point is, if you don't get to the bare understanding that we are now on a tree of good and not so good,
so we
need to be responsible for planting other seeds. The principles, planting seeds and creating ourselves in a new way other than the one that's given to us. And above all, plug into the spirituality of our ancestors. They could not read, they could not write, they were not allowed to assemble. They were not allowed, it was against the law for them to pray. But they learned to serve and honor God through their songs. And we have the spiritual, let my people go.
All right.
The spirituals, hallelujah, that we do not sing anymore.
Yes.
And these are the, you want to know what kept them going on? They were singing together.
About today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com.